Hello, I'm Ian Stone. Welcome to another edition of the show where three comedians talk about football in an amusing way. So let's not hang about, because the football's on. We're back, of course we are. There's been loads more football this week. We'll be talking Nottingham Forest beating Liverpool, Ronaldo, it's what he wants us to do, Stevie G and Tyson Fury, amongst other things. Our guests in the yellow corner, hailing from Devon, England, weighing in, well, let's not go down that road, it's Charlie Baker.
And what a shame. Look, it's an XL, but it's slim fit, okay?
And in the blue and white striped corner, from Sussex, England, but educated at Sheffield, I looked it up on Wikipedia, it's Glenn Moore. Morning, chaps. Morning. It's great to see you. Glenn, what have you noticed?
I've got a conspiracy theory, and I've got more evidence to back it up. I've got a conspiracy theory that despite consistently being a top six team, that Tottenham never win. And I swear, it's every week, I don't know if it's because I'm friends with Tottenham fans who are really downbeat about the whole situation, but the recent losses to Newcastle and Manchester, every season, Tottenham appear to lose every single week, and then at the end of the season end up in the top six, and I think, when did that happen? I don't know when they get the wins. They score a lot, I get that. I understand why Kane and Son are always high up the leaderboards in terms of scoring, but they just don't win. I don't know when it happens. I like them as a team.
Right, I really liked all that you said up to the I like them as a team there.
All right, sorry Ian, I realise who I'm speaking to here. I don't like them as a team, can I stay on the show?
You're more than welcome, we'll see you back very, very soon. Charlie, what have you noticed?
Football managers, the more they start losing, the more it starts going wrong, the more they just start describing what happened in the game. Because that's all that they can sort of clarify. Yeah. Jesse Marsh being the current example of this. It was asked on Sunday after the game, what happened? Well, we went 1-0 up and then they equalised, which we don't know how they equalised or why they equalised. Because they are also in the game, Jesse. That is also what is happening.
They are Mitrovic, trying to score.
Mitrovic is trying to score against you. And then he said something like, and if we kept the 1-0 longer, we would have won the game. What? Right. What? Till the end of the game? Yes, that is how scoring works. It's just like blind panic. Like, well, if I say it in a long-winded way, I can show that you've never played the game, so you don't understand the game. And I don't get what football managers are trying to do by it.
You're basically saying like they're talking like they're giving evidence to the police.
Yes.
I think.
And then it was 1-1, and then it was 2-1, and then they scored another one. Actually, officer.
Yeah.
And then.
I think what he's trying to do ultimately is keep his job, to be honest with you.
Which yes.
He's trying to put the best gloss on what happened. Do you know, the first 70 minutes, we had another 3 points in the bag. And then we didn't.
Yeah.
Well, no doubt we will be talking.
It's a nice way of reminding everyone. You sort of go, remember that first 17 minutes? That was fun though, wasn't it? Yeah. Do you remember those good days?
Who remembers when we scored? Remember that?
Yeah.
It was good.
He does.
It's true. It's like waving keys at a two-year-old, isn't it? Never mind the defeat. Look at the 1-0 win after the first 20 minutes. Anyway, only one place to start this weekend, and that's at the City Ground, Nottingham, for the live game on BT Sport on Saturday morning. Forest beat Liverpool 1-0 by a combination of adventurous pressing, inspired goalkeeping, and a marking system that only allowed Virgil van Dijk to get on the end of six gilt-edged chances. Glenn, Liverpool should have won, right? But something's not right. Are they just all knackered?
I don't know. I think it was more just enthusiasm from Nottingham Forest, which I really enjoyed. The only downside to it, the only thing I didn't like about the match is I've got friends who support Forest and they were a bit too excited about it. And the attitude seems to be like they're treating it as if it was like a giant killing. And I really want to say to them, like, play it cool. Guys, you're in the same league. Like, you are meant to be here. Like, it is reasonable. It is reasonable that Nottingham Forest might beat Liverpool, but I really don't know what Liverpool, what's really going on at the moment where it seems that Virgil van Dijk is like their key striker suddenly out of nowhere. He's gone very far up the pitch and Joe Gomez isn't doing his job at all. I really don't know what's going on.
No, they don't look happy. The Forest players though, meanwhile, Charlie, they're getting to know each other a little bit, aren't they? Learning their first names, you know, nodding at each other in the corridor, that sort of stuff. On that subject, we saw this tweet This is from Danny Jameson. He said, you could make a pretty convincing, do they play for Forest 22-23 or are they in the Turkish Super League quiz? And I think I'd probably struggle. So, well, we did exactly that. So we've named three players, two of whom play for Forest and one who plays in the Turkish Super League. Charlie, can you guess which one?
Oh, great, thanks a lot.
That's all right. I thought I'd give you a go. Which one plays in the Turkish Super League? Is it Willy Bolly, Luan Perez or Omar Richards?
Willy Bolly is, of course, the second worst Christmas drink after Dick Advocaat.
yes, which is not answering the question, but it's funny.
I didn't listen to the names because I was thinking of my Willy Bolly joke. Could you give me the names again, please?
Ian? Willy Bolly, Luan Perez or Omar Richards? Who plays in the Turkish Super League?
I'm going to say Omar Richards.
Right, okay. Well, hopefully someone will find that out.
Oh, right.
No, I do know. I do know. It's Luan Perez plays Turkish Super League. Omar Richards and Willy Bolly, both currently playing for Nottingham Forest, along with about 400 other people. But it seems
do you reckon that's the tactics that they're using? Is that the tactic Forest are using, that it's impossible to do research on a team where they have half the population of Europe in their squad? It's partly that's that, true. And also I think the crowd really were their 49th man at the weekend as well.
It's true.
What Glenn said about it being a giant killing, I think is spot on. It felt like a cup game. You know when they say in an FA Cup game, if you're a lower league side, you need your keeper to have an absolute worldie and maybe the other team not to turn up, you know. And Liverpool just didn't have that spark. Obviously they've got injury problems with a couple of strikers and Thiago going out early, so their midfield looks slow, still looks slow despite them, you know, bringing in new people. So it did feel like a cup game. So I suppose the job for Forest now is to be able to keep that going, you know, find that in the next game. Like Liverpool beating Man City and then losing to Forest. Forest now have to beat Liverpool and then I don't know who they've got next.
Me neither. I mean, I've got a lot of time for them, I have to say. I still think they'll go down this season, possibly with a very low points tally. But if Forest fans want to take that last comment as some sort of Miguel Almiron, Jack Grealish motivational comment, you're more than welcome. Trent Alexander-Arnold came on late in the game, which means that he's the second player to play a match next to a river of the same name. After, you'll love this. You'll like, Glenn, you'll like this. Don Hutchinson, who played for Everton away at Sheffield Wednesday in 1999. That is, of course, assuming that Niall Quinn didn't play a friendly in Cairo. Or there's more. Or Stevie Ganges play one in India. thank you. I'm here all week. We also had Tore Andre Flo and Leroy Sane, amongst others. Yeah. I think Stevie Ganges might have been the best. Meanwhile, Chelsea drew 1-1 with Manchester United on Saturday evening. I managed 80 minutes before I turned off the TV, only to miss the most exciting bit, proving that even if you're in your own house, you should never leave before the end. The big story before the game was Cristiano Ronaldo not being part of the squad. This was after the midweek match against Spurs, where he not only trotted off down the tunnel before the final whistle, but refused to come on as a substitute, presumably being asked to help defend a 2-0 lead would not give him the best chance of crashing one in from 20 yards and pointing at his name in that thank heavens for me way that he has. It's not really his skill set, is it, Glenn?
No, I think he did the right decision. I'm kind of on board here. United's stats are better without him in the team at the moment.
He knows and that. He did, he's what, a team
he, did,
man.
He did what was right. In the same way, it's in Barcelona's best interest that I don't play for them. And so it's imperative. It's imperative that I am not part of the Barcelona squad. And I'm doing the right thing there. I deserve to be congratulated. And so does Cristiano Ronaldo for doing that for the good of the team.
I'd like the idea of Xavi phoning up Glenn. Glenn, we need you now, second half. And you're like, I'm not good enough, Xavi.
Yeah, I'm not good enough. I don't understand you. It wouldn't be right.
Yeah, flights, the trains. It's a logistical nightmare. Apparently, Ronaldo and Ten Hag sat down for crunch talks on Monday, although Ronaldo apparently left just before the end of the meeting. Charlie, why did Ronaldo leave early from the game? Did he want to miss the traffic? I mean, I know how bad it gets around Old Trafford. Does he want to make sure he can get a seat on the tram going back to Piccadilly?
I don't blame him. I have this thing about parties. You know, when I'm at a party, My wife will often say, right, when are we leaving? And I'll have to say to her, can you start saying goodbye now if we have to leave in like an hour? Because she'll say goodbye to everybody, say thanks very much, the lovely evening, you know, get involved, you know. And I just leave. I just, what they call ghost out. Some people call it the Irish goodbye. And it's like, you just leave. And that's what
do
I do.
Do you have a signal for it? Me and my girlfriend have a signal if we want to leave a party. Yeah, I rub my ear and I say, I hate it here. And then we go from there.
It's exactly, what have you got, an itchy ear?
Yeah. Well, like at an auction, you've ended up buying.
Yeah, that's exactly it, yeah.
I mean, it does feel very much like the beginning of the end of the Ronaldo love affair at Old Trafford. Although he did get strong support from, amongst others, Piers Morgan. Glenn, is that the endorsement that Ronaldo is looking for?
I don't know. I've got the words Piers and Morgan muted on Twitter, so I didn't actually know this. I wasn't up to date. That's not the endorsement you want. That is ultimately the kiss of death. That is the support from the board that he did not want. I mean, again, I'm saying this as someone who is still pretty much on Cristiano Ronaldo's side, because also, isn't the objective of all jobs that you do want to go home early? And so that's what he did. He did what everyone else would do in that situation. I'm surprised that teams want to stay in the World Cup. If you leave at the group stage, you get to leave work early. Why isn't that every footballer's attitude?
I think Wales will find that out. Wales will find that out in a few weeks' time. So I shouldn't
worry about that. Hello, Charlie. I mean, it wasn't just that Piers Morgan also defending Ronaldo with that well-known team player Kevin Peterson. Apparently, there's a picture of Peterson at Old Trafford, and he wants it taken down. And that other keen spreader of dressing room harmony, Roy Keane. I mean, Charlie, Morgan, Peterson and Keane. It's a fearsome threesome, isn't it?
Mate, you know that phrase, game, recognise game. Then is it the same with those three?
I think there's something in that, actually. they all would be the sort of person who also would want to knock off a few minutes early, trot down the tunnel.
So. I mean, he just doesn't want to be there, does he? You can just see he should have left pre-season. I think he tried to leave pre-season. Ten Hag doesn't seem his sort of vibe, is what I would say.
Where do you reckon he'd go? Because I don't think he'd stay in the Premier League.
Well, there's certain places he can't go for reasons we can't go into. But there are other places. He can't go because he can't get the money that he wants.
Yeah. He should go to Wrexham.
They'd give him
the money. They've got more money than you want. Be great for their documentary, their stupid documentary series. And it's just the sort of person Wrexham would love at the moment.
I think he'll sign for a team we're not expecting. He'll sign for Soccer Aid's Rest of World 11.
Yeah, well, we look forward to seeing him. He's not the first player to do that, refuse to come on. Carlos Tevez refused to come on for Manchester City in the Champions League in 2011 against Bayern Munich, which, as an Arsenal fan, watching us getting regularly spanked by that Bayern Munich team, I have some sympathy with. In the weekend's other Premier League action, it was a good weekend for Manchester City as their rivals all dropped points. But in a major setback, Erling Haaland scored only two against Brighton and didn't score at all for the entire second half. I'm told that crisis talks are ongoing. So, Stevie G or Slippy G or Stampy G, depending on your club affiliations, went the way of Liz Truss last week and got turfed out of his job after not much longer in office than the hapless PM. Worse was to follow as, after being told that his services were no longer required, he had to travel back on the team bus with his now no longer charges sitting alongside him. Orcs. Glenn, where to next for the marauding midfielder turned manager?
I'm not sure, because I think he made a mistake taking on the Villa job in the first place.
I think to
have done what he did with Rangers in his first managerial position, he should have just left there and then, retired forever and gone. I think it's pretty clear I was the best manager of all time. I would have gone to have won the World Cup, but I've decided I'm going to sit this one out. And now he's gone too far. You know, when the fun stops, stop. And he carried on with Aston Villa. And I think now he should turn his attentions to somewhere abroad where he needs to go somewhere like Serie A or somewhere like in the French League or something like that, where we're not monitoring it week by week. And then he can just tell us that it's going amazingly, like he's on his gap year. And we can go, oh, great, Steven Gerrard's doing well. We've got no idea really how he's doing. We're not really looking at how Lyon are doing in the league. But I think that's the best. That's the only way forward for him, I think.
What about joining Ronaldo at Wrexham?
I don't think he'd do well at Wrexham. Stevie G reminds me of the Cambridge Footlights during the Edinburgh Festival. They're really good in Scotland, but no one cares anywhere else, and they can't do it. But also, what he should do, and this is obviously the answer, is go and assist Frank Lampard at Everton, just so we can finally find out. Just go. Just imagine him in the fourth technical area, in the technical area, just moving each other out of the way, running into each other, both going at the same time for the fourth official. Absolute nightmare for him.
Do you reckon they'd share an office, but like they're trying to decide which desk is slightly further forward and which one sort of goes slightly further back?
Yeah, measuring how much each person has got. Much as it must have been uncomfortable on the team bus, we were wondering what other ways Gerald could have got home from West London to the West Midlands. We looked into the travel possibilities and we put out a little Twitter poll. Here are the results. Drown His Sorrows in London seemed to come out on top. We offered barge as an option, by the way, because I've been re-watching Peaky Blinders. Glenn, aside from the winner being that he should have stayed in London and got drunk, I find it interesting that barge was as popular as Uber.
Well, I think so, but it's not as ridiculous as the decision he made. This is a man who has an almost unlimited well of money. He didn't have to get that bus.
No.
Like, he could have gotten a black cab home and paid the thousands and thousands of pounds it would have cost. So there were loads of options. He's not without, like, he could have just gotten a separate megabus.
A pound. He gets home for a pound.
Yeah. The thing about the barge as well is, I mean, no one in the Premier League is going to touch him with a barge pole now.
No.
So, no one could have come near him. A barge goes, I think, 4 miles an hour, which is about as far as fast as an Uber through London. So
it's also the same speed that Tyrone Mings runs as well. Who next for Villa? Well, that question was answered late on Monday when they appointed Unai Emery, even though the Villa fans wanted Maurizio Pochettino. Charlie, I want a house in the country and a body servant. We can't always have what we want, can we?
Unai Emery back just in time for Halloween. Yeah. Isn't it lovely? Isn't it lovely?
Good evening,
it's
kids.
It's lovely, isn't it? Good evening. Great manager. Fantastic manager. Absolutely great manager. I think, you're an Arsenal fan, I think, Ian. You don't go on about it much. But I think he did a really good job, didn't he?
I think he did.
Where did you come under him? You got to a final, I think?
Fifth.
The European final?
Fifth. Eighth. And we got spanked. We had to fly all the way out to Baku and got spanked by Chelsea. Listen, no one could do the job after Arsene Wenger. There had to be a period where someone was going to take some stick. And Unai was it. But he does very well with teams with Villa in the title, isn't it? Essentially.
Yes.
Villarreal, Aston Villa and Sevilla.
So, and also, as someone said on Twitter last night, he also managed David Villa. So,
there you go.
And also, Dracula is a famous villa.
Nice. Yeah, very
weirdly,
good.
Weirdly, though, he also lives in a two-up, two-down terraced house. So that, anyway.
But also, like Steven Gerrard's villa, he does suck the life out of you. So,
I think he'll do all right in a position. They'll finish the season 15th still, but with his track record, they'll also somehow make the Europa League final. And I'm not sure the logistics of that, but he'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, as for the Scouse Superman himself being sacked and then watching your former team win 4-0 3 days later would certainly put a dent in your self-confidence. You couldn't help but take that personally. The big question, we have been talking about it, where now for Stevie G? I mean, ideally for him, he needs a mid-table club who've underachieved but have ambition to regain some of their former glory. So, I don't know, someone like Villa would have been ideal, Glenn, wouldn't it, really? There was a vacancy.
He should reapply for the same job with a false moustache.
What about the Liverpool job, Charlie? He's not getting that anytime soon, is he?
He's nowhere near the Liverpool job, is he? Again, that's it.
Well, they are a mid-table team, aren't they?
Rangers. I can imagine he'll go back to Rangers. They've not had a great start to the season. They're not playing great football. I can imagine if the job came up, would he go back? Should you ever go back,
Charlie? When the fun stops, he needs to learn.
Well, listen, we're all comedians. You should never go back to Scotland. We've all learned that with the Edinburgh Festival. Gerard Sackey, of course, caps a pretty grim start for clubs from the Midlands. At the time of recording, they currently occupy four of the bottom seven places in the Premier League, and half of their managers of those clubs have been given their P45. They can't attract the managerial talent. Is that because of the Midlands, Glenn? Are they concerned about picking up some of the accent?
No, it's a weird one. I think, like, I don't think we'd really be questioning how the Midlands were doing if Leicester were doing okay. I think it's purely because Leicester are having such a bad season,
yeah,
that the attention's on them a bit more. We wouldn't normally be questioning Aston Villa and Wolves' positions, really, based on sort of where they are. But it's just Leicester are really sticking out like a sore thumb. And I feel bad for, like, Villa, that they're being dragged down alongside them, being spoken about in the same conversation. Like, Villa were never going to be challenging for the top, like, six.
Well, not they haven't done with that quite attitude. Sometimes. No, certainly not with that attitude. No. Now, did you know, chaps, that there's a fantasy football league group just for Premier League players? No?
Oh,
well,
right.
There
okay.
is. Adam Forshaw is top with South 11. Some of the names are pretty good, I think. Patrick Bamford. Hasta la vista, baby. Okay. Matt Target got target practice. Leicester players, by the way, doing better in the fantasy world rather than the real one, although they did beat Wolves 4-0 at the weekend. A couple of other things I wanted to mention. Rob Holding has Harry Kane as captain. I'm not sure I approve of that. Glenn,
no.
quite a few of the players picking themselves. I mean, you said already you wouldn't.
Yeah, a lot of them are. One of the things I found most interesting was Calvin Phillips, who's at City, doesn't have Haaland captain. He's got Gabriel Jesus instead, who isn't at City anymore. That's a sackable offence.
Right.
And weirder one is, out of all of the ones I went through, John McGinn doesn't have Haaland in his team at all,
yeah,
which feels really, really bizarre. I think that's out of bitterness more than anything else.
I think the last time Calvin Phillips played for Manchester City, Jesus was still number nine. I'm just saying. Maybe
yeah, he's had all social media switched off. He doesn't look at the papers. He's still just lying in bed. So he's
Erling
got no idea.
Who?
Doesn't this feel like massively illegal? Is this why Haaland scored so many goals? They've all got him as captain of their fantasy football
team.
Well,
this is also why I was saying I don't like the idea of Rob Holding celebrate when Harry Kane scores.
No.
And Tottenham.
Yes.
I've captained him this week. In the middle of the Arsenal dressing room. I find that a little upsetting. Anyway, on it goes. We also, by the way, when we're on the Football Zone, like to talk about the teams our guests support.
Yes.
We'll start with a bit of talky chat with Charlie Baker.
Yes,
currently
come on now.
Propping up the National League, but you're not
yes.
short of entertainment at Playmore. A 4-4 draw with a 97th minute equaliser. Charlie, there are worse ways of spending a Saturday afternoon, although I should say, if you'd have left 5 minutes before the end of normal time, you'd have missed a fair bit of the action.
The game on Saturday, Torquay United versus Altrincham, it was like two tramps fighting each other. It was like, this is the ugliest thing I've ever seen. And I don't think either of these deserves to win. And it was, Torquay was so bad in the first half, I almost had to turn it off. I had to actually go in a different room. I got sent to a different room to watch it because I was moaning so, I meant to enjoy it, you know, supposed to enjoy it. And then the second half, we were completely, and then we went 3-2 up. I mean, I sound like Jesse Marsh. And then we went 3-2 up, and then it was 3-3, and then we were 4-3 down in the last minute, and then we scored a Gary time equaliser, 97th minute, absolutely brilliant finish for the 97th
minute. Oh, it's a great goal,
equaliser.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, we needed it. We are not having a good season so far. We absolutely needed it. We need some momentum. We need to find some positivity from somewhere.
The really nice thing about the National League is you get like 1950s scorelines, don't you? Of like 8-6 and stuff like that. It's brilliant.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes. That was Dylan, let me just tell you, that was Dylan Crowe. He was under 18 player for England. This is how footballers can sort of fall off the radar a bit. Under 18 player for England, Bayern Munich were interested at one point in him, and now he's playing right back for Torquay United and scoring beautiful goals like that. And wow. Dean Moxey. Do you remember Dean Moxey played for Palace in the Premier League? He's our left back, and he was supreme. He's absolutely, and I sponsor his kit. So
I have to say, obviously a left back who plays in a 4-4 draw, maybe it hasn't been completely supreme, but I get
None
the point you're
fault.
Making.
Not one of them his fault.
Glenn, if you got Torquay away, if Wednesday got Torquay away, you'd really want it to happen very early or very late in the season. No one should have to travel to an English seaside resort in mid-November, should they, really?
No, it's everywhere's shut. Everywhere's going to have a bad time. Nothing against Torquay, obviously. Wow. I'm just talking about geographically from, if you're travelling from Hillsborough, it's a lengthy journey. You want everyone in your league to be like, I wish Sheffield Wednesday were in exactly the same league as all of Doncaster, Rotherham, Barnsley, Sheffield United, no other teams. Just like the five of us, that's it. No, not going anywhere else.
Yeah, it'd be like the Qatar World Cup, only at lower level. Although I've tried to forget it, I can't help but remember another 4-4 draw. That was my team Arsenal had away at Newcastle. That was a tough weekend for me personally, as the next day I had to watch my son's team draw 4-4 in the Barnet under-10s. Oh. Charlie, ever seen 2 4-4s in a weekend?
No, wowee, 2 4-4s is
too much.
It's unbelievable. I mean, a four-four just is sort of different to a 4-3, isn't it? A 7-goal thriller. Yeah. Because a 4-4 just points at everyone being abject. No one's playing well.
Both teams were poisoned, definitely.
Who wanted it least?
Now, we do have a special edition of The Football's On, concentrating on the National League. Charlie Baker will be in the presenter's chair. That will be going out on Tuesday, November the 8th, Charlie.
Going to be a lot of fun. I think we've got some great guests coming on. I know we've been laughing at Wrexham. We're having some Wrexham content, and we're going big on all the National League. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Brilliant. We'll keep you posted about all of this on social media. Twitter, This Is TFO, and Insta, The Football's On. Come and say hello, and you never know, we might say hello back.
Join Ellis James and pals down the clubhouse for a light-hearted and entertaining journey through the history of sports forgotten, rarely seen, iconic, and hotly debated moments. All episodes available now on the BT Sport app.
Let's have a game of Who Am I? I give out the clues and our guests have to guess who I'm talking about. I think this one's quite easy this week. Number one, Millwall was the first and last club that I played for in England. I am well known for my regular goal celebration of shadow boxing the corner flag. Of course you know. I was the first player to score for my country at a World Cup finals. I think you know, you guys. I've got extra clues if needed, but I don't think I need them, to be honest. Glenn, who is it?
I wasn't sure. The only person I could think of was Tim Cahill, because I remember that celebration.
Yes. And Charlie, you knew this question too, didn't you?
I think he's one of the best midfielders the Premier League has ever seen, and that's a Tim Cahill I'll die on. No? Anyone else?
You.
No?
Okay. I like that.
Is this on? Anyway. So, the Gypsy King, Tyson Fury, may not be getting enough excitement in his daily life as he seems to want to get involved in the football business. The two-time heavyweight champion and loud dresser is in the market for Morecambe, currently sitting near the bottom of League One. Charlie, if he buys the club, do you think he'd be a hands-off chairman? And if he wasn't, could anyone stop him?
I think this could be one of the worst things that ever happened to Morecambe FC.
It could.
It's a real minefield. The whole thing's an absolute minefield.
It is. No, I mean, Glenn, at the very least, you'd want a documentary film crew there, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Tyson Fury looks like when I was a kid, what I thought bosses of companies looked like. Because my experience of what bosses looked like as a kid was like Vince McMahon. Like people who fundamentally look like they cannot fit into a suit, but still nonetheless wear a suit. And that's him. He looks like a Streets of Rage boss. Yeah. Like he should definitely be the boss of a company, for sure.
Do you think he'd insist on singing to his wife at the end of every match? Just on the pitch.
I think he'd do the match interviews afterwards. I think as well, he'd probably give motivational speeches in the dressing room because he does have a motivational voice. He sounds like JFK, really, doesn't he? We're going to win.
He'd be very hands-on and not in a good way.
size. Yeah, he would. I think all the mascots should be his size. I think that would look great.
Yeah. I think the mascot would just be like a big furry Deontay Wilder, and he just absolutely just pummels him before every match.
I mean, the question should be asked as to whether we want more celebrity owners. I mean, Charlie mentioned Wrexham before. We've got the Reynolds McElhenney ownership of Wrexham. Charlie, would Kim Kardashian work in the hot seat at Ipswich Town? Would they find a hot seat big enough, to be honest? Does Ye buy Norwich in revenge?
Yeah. I think this could be a real... It should become a celebrity... Like a celebrity status symbol. That you own a non-league or lower league football club. I think it'd be absolutely brilliant. If you know,
nice
Tom Cruise to turn up at Torquay would just be just beautiful. Like every single week, just he's Gilbert the Gull, you know. Absolutely, it's me.
Takes his hat off.
Takes his hat off. Tom Cruise kicking the wall.
He'd do a very good Gull though, wouldn't he?
You know, he'd be good at it, wouldn't he?
It's all method with him. He'd be stealing people's chips.
Exactly. He'd be walking around, he's nicking people's chips, ruining their day.
I think it would be you'd want it to be like a status symbol though. So Tom Cruise, he would definitely want to own a Premier League club, and then the sort of further down you go, you sort of go, well, Conference South, that's run by like that's one of those clubs would be owned by like Jason Donovan,
for instance,
or like
a bloke from the Bill.
Yeah.
Glenn, your own team, Sheffield Wednesday, are currently going very nicely. In at the time of recording, third place in League One. Wednesday are owned by Dej Von Chansiri, whose family are the biggest suppliers of tin tuna in the world, and acquired a 100% stake in the club in 2015. A tuna stake, I imagine. Glenn, I'm not even sure you needed that second line, did you, really? Anyway, Glenn.
Do you know what? Their previous owner, and I'm not going to say who it was, but you can just look it up. I used to be a waiter in Sheffield, and I used to see, it was like his go-to restaurant, and he used to go there all the time with other people, I guess, from the board or like his family or whatever. And it was really weird. He didn't like anyone looking at him. So, like, his staff would sort of say, like, when I'd sort of ask what his order was, they'd be like, oh, if you could look away when you take his order, please. One of the weirdest celebrity encounters I ever regularly had.
Him and Prince, apparently.
Yeah.
The owner of Sheffield Wednesday and Prince. I mean, you weren't around
maybe
for the
glory days. Maybe he's got terrible tuna breath, and he doesn't like to... Just constant,
I cannot stress
constant
enough,
constant tuna
this,
breath.
Not this current owner. I don't want to get sued. I'm not naming the owner who it was.
This wasn't tuna guy, Charlie. This was before canned fish. Okay.
No. The fact that his previous owner smelt like fish was irrelevant. It had nothing to do with anything.
I mean, you weren't around for the glory days, Glenn, but are you feeling like things are on an upward trajectory? Are the owls taking flight?
Yeah, we're exactly where I want them to be. I want us to be in the playoff positions in League One for the rest of time. And I firmly mean that. I think since we got promoted to the Championship about a decade ago, it hasn't been fun. It hasn't been a fun experience. We were never going to get promoted from the Championship. We're probably never going to reach the playoff places. Rarely crack the top 10. And so we were always sort of languishing towards the bottom of the Championship, and it was stressful. And I think just staying in the League One playoff spots and then narrowly losing in the playoff final every season on penalties. It's my dream situation. I want every team in League One to fear us, but know that ultimately we'll be there next year. With a school bully who never graduates.
Bullying, yeah. Bullying. You're into bullying. I like that, Glenn. That's
I'm
great.
Really into bullying. Yeah.
It's a real shock move from you.
I mean, it's funny he says that, Charlie, because I think Sheffield Wednesday, not the bullying thing, I mean about the Premier League thing. No, I knew that he was like that.
Both are unlikely.
No, but that, I think, Charlie, that Sheffield Wednesday should be a Premier League team. I'd much rather see them in the Premier League than Norwich or Bournemouth or Watford. And I say no disrespect, but it's massive disrespect to those three teams.
That's because we're old, Ian, I think. We remember them being big.
You know, no, they're like
it's Nottingham Forest, isn't it? They're the new Nottingham Forest. You know, when will Sheffield Wednesday reclaim their glory days?
I understand, but they also get 25,000 every home game. I mean, I think that's what you want. They do. It does have a Premier League feel to it.
Yeah, twice as many as Bournemouth.
Exactly. Half as bitter as salt is what I heard in my head there. And if you get hooked, baby, it's nobody else's fault, so don't do it. I'm talking about Bournemouth. Anyway, there is something exotic about League One, I think. Charlton and Derby have both been much higher up the football pyramid not that long ago. Yeah. Fleetwood and Forest Green, who met this week, were both a long way further down. Glenn, it's where teams from across the football spectrum meet. You know, I sort of see it like the Istanbul of football leagues.
Oh, I see it as a sort of celebrity rehab, where basically it's people who should be in the Premier League, they've fallen off the wagon a bit, and they just need a bit of just sort of recuperation, and they go, and then League One proudly sends them back off to the Championship, never to be seen again. That's what it is. And Sheffield Wednesday, we're going to keep relapsing until the end of time.
He almost makes it out, and then suddenly, yeah. The playoff final, falls off the wagon.
And then they really hit rock bottom once they leave rehab. They go one way or the other, because in the National League, we've got Notts County, Scunthorpe and Oldham, who are all previous League One teams. And so you go, and Torquay United, of course, previous League One team, Chesterfield, previous league. So that's like hitting rock bottom once they've left. You go one way or the other.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's an interesting league. I think Tyson Fury will just add to the general excitement, won't he? One division higher, and things are a little strange. Out of the 24 teams in the Championship, only four have lost more matches than Blackburn this season, and yet they're in second place at the time of recording. Blackburn are also the only team in England not to have drawn a game this season, clearly the key to success. Charlie, it's a very Americanised view of the beautiful game, isn't it? You either win or lose.
I was going to say, no draws is what a lot of people want, isn't it? I mean, it feels like cup football. I mean, they are a good team, and they've become a well-run club. They've kept hold of Diaz, Berizan Diaz, haven't they? I don't know how they've done that. They must have I don't know what their valuation of him is, but he does score a lot of goals. He is a really good player. He's a Chilean international. So I'm assuming someone will come in for him in January after the World Cup. But if they can keep hold of him, then they should probably do really well.
I would say so. I mean, West Brom are second from bottom. They've lost fewer games than Blackburn, Glyn. It's a strange league.
It is strange, but the drawing thing, if that continues, I think it's going to start influencing games. It's going to start getting into referees' heads. So, like, if Blackburn are drawing, say, 1-1 in, like, the 95th minute, that I think the ref's still going to be like, we'll give it another few minutes and we'll see which way this goes. It's just going to keep going forever.
All right, time for Call Yourself a Fan, our quiz, where we see if our comedians have been paying attention. Now, here's the current leaderboard. Now, one or two of our guests have done it more than once. We've taken their best score. When I say best score for Glenn and Charlie, it doesn't look good, really. Both in the relegation zone. Anyway, this is the relegation six-pointer. 4 points, by the way, is as much as anyone's managed in the league. Glenn, you can go first. Three questions on Sheffield Wednesday and two on the games this weekend. Okay, question one. In the first game of the 22-23 League One campaign, who was sent off for Sheffield Wednesday? Was it Lee Gregory, Josh Windass or Reece James?
Lee Gregory.
It was. It was Lee Gregory. Was given two yellows and a 3-3 thriller versus Portsmouth at Hillsborough. 3-3 doesn't seem so much of a thriller when we've been talking about four alls, but still. Okay, one out of one. Question two, Glenn. Sheffield Wednesday were relegated from the Premier League in 2000. I imagine you were happy about that. You're looking forward to your playoffs in League One days. But who was their top scorer in the league that season? Was it Gerald Seabon, Andy Booth or Gilles de Bilder?
Gilles de Bilder.
It was. Scored 10 league goals as the Owls finished 19th.
Can Gilles he fix it? Yes, he can.
That is what I think. It's one of those names. One of my favourite names in recent football history, along with Angel Rangel. Two
lovely.
Out of two. Glenn, who was voted as Sheffield Wednesday's Player of the Month for September? Was it George Byers, Michael Smith or Liam Palmer?
Liam Palmer.
No, it was Michael Smith. He scored a crucial late equaliser versus the title rivals Ipswich Town. Two out of three going into the general knowledge. Who opened the scoring for Leicester away at Wolves on Sunday? Was it Yuri Tielemans, Harvey Barnes or James Maddison?
Harvey Barnes.
No, it was Yuri Tielemans. If you have not seen this goal, he hit this ball as hard as I've seen a football hit. He put the Foxes ahead at Molineux in the 8th minute and the game finished 4-0. And the last question, Glenn. Casemiro nicked a late point for Manchester United at Stamford Bridge. Who got the assist? Was it Bruno Fernandes, Tyrell Malacia or Luke Shaw?
I'm going to say Fernandes.
No, it was Luke Shaw.
It was Luke Shaw.
It was, I turned it off by then. I only saw this. I only heard this later on. Luke Shaw's deep cross that was met by a leaping Casemiro. And Glenn scored 2 out of 5 points. Now it's the turn of Charlie Baker. Charlie, 3 questions on Torquay United and 2 on the weekend's action.
Yes, please.
We could have done the whole thing on the 4-4, to be honest with you, but we're not going to. Okay, Charlie, question one. Who is Torquay United's record signing? Is it Billy Bowden, Brian Saar, or Leon Constantine?
Leon Constantine.
Constantine, is it? I'm sorry.
Yes. Well, Leon Constantine.
It's Leon Constantine. He was signed for £90,000 in 2004-2005, arriving from Peterborough. Just for scale, that's less than one day's pay for Erling Haaland. Football has changed, hasn't it?
Good fun,
and
isn't it?
And the fact your record signing is from 18 years ago as well.
Yeah. Shows
anyway,
where we are.
Yes, I guess. In what year? Nice, 1 out of 1. In what year did Torquay play their first match at Plainmoor? Was it 1900, 1910, or 1920?
You should know this.
What? Oh.
He should, shouldn't he?
This is
he
the
should
show.
Know this, you're right.
I'm going to say 1920.
Oh, it was 1910, Charlie.
1910.
Torquay merged with Ellicombe, I think it might be.
Ellicombe,
I got that right, Ellicombe. With Ellicombe's Plainmoor becoming the club's home ground. One
come, Ellicombe, Ellicombe, come. You got to give me loving and you got to give me
I wish you were still called Ellicombe. I genuinely do, just for that. Okay, 1 out of 2. How many goals, Charlie, did Torquay score in September? Was it none, 2, or 4?
In September?
Yes.
2.
No, they got 4, Charlie, in 3 games.
Oh, my God.
They had a 2-1 away win at Southend. That was 2 of them and 2
oh,
others.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, they did. You're saying it's just like all been
so,
it wrong.
Well, it's just all been so bad. It's like, I don't know, the worst one possible. Minus.
You've blotted it from your mind. 1 out of 3, Charlie.
Oh, dear.
Very firmly rooted to the bottom
really
of the
bad.
Comedian's table at the moment. Okay, he's got a chance to redeem himself with the league games this weekend, the Premier League games. Who scored Brighton's goal in their 3-1 loss at the Etihad on Saturday? Was it Leandro Trossard, Pascal Gross, or Alexis McAllister?
Oh, gosh. Trossard.
It was Trossard's strike.
I thought it was, yeah.
Vicious strike from the edge of the box. It actually said viscous on my alter cue, but it was a vicious strike from the edge of the box.
Viscous Junior. Viscous Junior plays for Real Madrid.
Right, Madrid. And he gave the Seagulls false hope before Kevin De Bruyne sealed the 3 points for Manchester City. And question 5. This is a decider because you're currently on 2 out of 4.
Come on now.
Question 5. Which Aston Villa forward scored a brace in their shock 4-0 thrashing of Brentford on Sunday? Was it Ollie Watkins, Leon Bailey, or Danny Ings?
It was Danny Ings.
It was Danny Ings. Danny Ings.
With the headphones and everything. You should wear those headphones more often.
With the headphones. Yeah. It's true. Can you imagine Steven Gerrard going, Danny Ings scored? What? How did that happen? He put the home side 3-0 up in under 15 minutes at Villa Park. Charlie scored 3 out of 5. Oh, yes, Glenn. Very magnanimous there, Charlie.
Wow. The tide has turned.
Comfortable mid-table, Charlie. That's where you are.
Yeah, lovely.
That is it for the show. Thanks to Glenn Moore. Thank you to Charlie Baker. And thanks to you for watching. I'm Ian Stone, and we're back at the same time next week.
Join Ellis James and pals down the clubhouse for a light-hearted and entertaining journey through the history of sports forgotten, rarely seen, iconic, and hotly debated moments. All episodes available now on the BT Sport app.